This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervie. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Hi, I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KVC. You know, Gervie's Law has been on the air for about 10 years, actually a little bit more. And we've had so many interesting guests throughout the years. We've had lawyers, of course, too many of them make my head spin. We've had doctors, we've had politicians, we've had actors, we've had writers, we've had directors. We've had a lot of interesting people in all walks of life. But I don't remember in the 10 plus years that we ever had a guest who was the queen of burlesque. It just hasn't happened. And I will tell you, I'm excited to talk about this because I'll tell you a quick story. Back in the day, I was a DJ on a cruise ship. It was Princess Cruises. And I met this woman who was a dancer in what they called, I think, Celebrate USA or something like that. And we hit it off and we became an item. And after I got off the ship, after 5 months, and by the way, she had gotten off the ship and was sending me care packages for like 3 months, and it was amazing. Every port I went to, I had a care package. She invited me to Vegas to see her in a show that she was doing and she had done for many years called Jubilee. It was at the Tropicana, if I remember correctly. And I remember after the show, and I loved the show, just it was amazing. I went backstage, and what I saw backstage has had an indelible mark in my life. Seeing all of, I guess, what you would call showgirls, women in costume. These lavish costumes, beautiful with these headsets, and just the glitz and the glamour was so exciting. And I'll never forget that. After that experience, I used to invite my parents to go to every review show in Vegas there was. Unfortunately, my relationship with her didn't end up in anything permanent, but, you know, hey. Not all relationships do. Even if you marry Marilyn Manson, it doesn't necessarily end up in a permanent relationship. So that didn't really work out, but it was a fascinating experience. And that's why I'm so excited to talk to our guest. Dita Von Teese is a dancer, a model, an actress, an author, a businesswoman, and she's repopularized burlesque performances in so many different ways in her career. It's a legendary career, and that's why I started talking about the Queen of Burlesque. Dina, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you. How are you? I love that story.
It is an amazing story, and we're going to talk a little bit about your show in a bit, because the show is something that we need to talk about, Dita Las Vegas. But before we do, I want to talk about your career and how you started out, because again, this is not something that every young girl growing up desires to do. It's not something top of mind, but you were a big fan of old movies when you were growing up that you used to go to with your family. Tell us what the role of those movies played in the development of your interests in burlesque.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in a small town in an old Victorian house, and my mother loved antiques. Her best friend had an antique store up the street, and then she also loved to watch old movies from the 30s and 40s and 50s. So I kind of grew up watching those movies with my mom, and I remember feeling like, I want to be just like those ladies when I grow up with the red lipstick. You know, all these beautiful Technicolor musicals were my favorite. And I just, you know, when I was just out of high school in the early 90s, I felt like I didn't you know, I'm like a dishwater blonde from a farming town in Michigan. And I thought, you know, I feel more confident when I wear red lipstick, and I always wanted to feel different and special and unique. And I fashioned myself after pinup girls and movie stars of the 1940s. And I just like got really involved in that lifestyle, which was booming in the early 90s in Orange County, California, which is where like the swing dance scene really erupted. And so I was very involved in that scene, dressing in period clothing, driving my 30s car, and just, you know, it started there. And I had the first ever pinup website on the internet, when you could have just one page.
Wow.
I was kind of famous for being the one person that dressed like a pinup girl and also did burlesque shows. And my shows first started in strip clubs and fetish parties and things like that. It was very niche. And it just kind of like snowballed over the decades, really. So, and I think really in like 2002 is when I had a big moment, when I was performing as a guest star with the Pussycat Dolls in that show that they did with, you know, Charlize Theron and Christina Aguilera and Gwen Stefani. I was singled out for doing my Glass number within that. I wasn't a Pussycat Doll, but I was just one of the guest stars every week. And I got singled out in a lot of the press. Hugh Hefner would come to my shows with all of his girls next door. And anytime I was performing, they all came to see me dance. And then I was on the cover of Playboy in 2002. And that was kind of like, of course, people knew me all over the world as the modern Betty Page. But, you know, that really kind of like was my moment, was 2002, I would say, and in the years that followed.
It sounds like you've had a lot of moments. I mean, 2002, maybe that's where it erupted, where the popularity grew, people started to know you. But before that, you made some conscious decisions, and one of them was when you were 19, you were going to tattoo a beauty mark on your face. Mm-hmm. Was that symbolic to you that this was the life that you had chosen?
You know, I don't have any other tattoos except for that one, which is really funny.
it is funny.
It was just because I kept drawing it on, and you know, it's so funny. I was just at the Viva Las Vegas Weekender. I drove one of my vintage cars to the car show, and this guy comes up to me and goes, "Hey, remember me? I was there when you got that beauty mark tattooed on your face, and you wanted it to be a star or a moon." And I was like, "Oh yeah, thank you for not letting me do that."
Was that true? It was the actual guy that was there.
It was his friend. His friend. But I've seen the guy before. He's kind of a famous guy in Orange County. But I was like, "Can I have a heart?" And he's like, "No, I'm not putting a heart on your face. Can I have a star?" "No, I'm not putting a star on your face." It was this whole conversation. It's hard to imagine that this rockabilly tattoo shop in Orange County would have been the voice of reason. But they were, actually. I was 18 years old.
And you're so thankful to them for that.
I am, yes, yeah.
That's amazing. You know, when you talk about being thankful, how does it feel when you talk about being at the movies with your mom? Those were special moments that you obviously shared together, stuff that, you know, you want to remember your entire life. Do you attribute her interest to taking you to the old movies and the experiences you had together to who you are now?
Definitely. I mean, we mostly, you know, I lived in a small town with one movie theater, so always the modern movie was playing at those. It wasn't like a cool movie theater, but we watched them on TV. I can't tell you how we watched them on TV, but I know there were always old movies on at my house on TV. And I had this little room that I watched them in that had, it was the one room that had not been restored in our old house. And it seemed to be a baby's nursery in the 50s. And so it had this pink shag carpeting and poodles painted on the wall. And it's I remember when I was little moving into that house and there was velvet wallpaper in the dining room. My mom, it was this has to go. And I was no, not the velvet wallpaper. So I've always loved things that were different and, just different and vintage, and I've always looked for the things that caught my attention because they were from another time. So,
you know,
from a very young age, I always noticed those things.
And it's interesting, Dita, when I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about the kids today, and you know, I have two kids, 10 and 11 years old, mm-hmm. And I try so hard to have them watch the old movies. I am fascinated by it. They have no interest, none whatsoever. And it really hurts her. It bothers me.
I know. Well, the more you try to make them like it, the less they're going to like it. But, you know, it is, there's a huge resurgence. There's always been people who loved things of another time, you know, and we of course say vintage style, not vintage values. There's a lot of problematic things about those films too. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I'm totally aware of all of it. But you know, you kind of watch and go, oh, it's good that that part doesn't exist anymore. But,
I like the differentiation that you just made, vintage style versus values, because I think it's the style that's compelling. And, you know, maybe there are some values that are really important to kids from back then that they don't see because they're too busy on their iPads, but there are other negatives. But you're focusing on the positive, and I'll tell you something, that what you've done in your career by doing, you know, the videos and the shows, and I want to talk a little bit about two particular videos that you've done, it does focus some light on the vintage style that people haven't seen. And when they see it, it's just so wonderful to see something different than some of the other videos that we're exposed to today. And the first one I want to talk about, because people who have listened to the show for the last 10 years know my fascination and my dedication to Green Day, the band that I never miss, although this past Thursday I had to miss them because I had my son had a baseball game, and they were in LA where I was planning on going, but I had to go to the baseball game, family first. But tell us about the redundant video that you did with Green Day, because, you know, that for me would have been a dream come true.
That's so funny. Not many people bring that one up. But in the mid-90s, I was with this agency that was around in L.A. that's no longer around. It was all kind of like alternative models and actors. And so I was in part of that agency. And so I got booked a lot on videos of that time and other things, too. But the Green Day video was definitely one of them. And I was kind of like around Green Day a little bit anyway, because I grew up, or I went to high school in Orange County and then lived there in the early 90s. And I was dated Mike Ness for a couple years. So like they were always around. I was friends with all the guys from the Royal Crown Review, which was like the best like big band of that time that people probably remember from that big swing scene in The Mask. But that was all Orange County people, and we were very much like connected. So, but I did get hired on the Green Day video just through my agency, but it was just a funny little thing. But
did
I loved things like that.
Did
I was
you
in a
actually
lot of videos
meet
at that
the
time.
Band during that video, or was it shot
separately?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'd met him before, I think, like, through, like, my relationship with Mike and Social Distortion like that. So I'd met him before. And, we, you know, that was all, everybody was kind of friends. Like, No Doubt was down there. You know, it was kind of,
that's
everyone
so cool.
Kind of knew each other. The rockabilly scene and that alternative scene was alive and well in Orange County.
And you added so much class to that video, the way that you strutted in, you know, what the bizarre home that it was done in. And
I know.
And
funny.
It just like there was such a juxtaposition between the song and this kind of statuesque showgirl walking through. What was that like?
Yeah, it's funny. I just, you know, for people that haven't seen the video, I just kind of, it's all these people doing the same thing over and over, hence the song Redundant. But I just walk in a red dress, take it off, and I have, like, pin-up lingerie underneath, and I walk away. I think, I can't even remember, but...
That's true. That's what it is.
It just happens over and over, one
like
take, just over
Groundhog,
and over.
It was like Groundhog Day, the movie.
Yeah.
It's so cool. So now I'm going to come forward a little bit, because my daughter Harper, who is 10 years old, would just kill me. She'd never speak to me again if I didn't ask you about another video, which is years later, the Bejeweled video by Taylor Swift. Harper is what she considers the greatest fan, and I'm sure there's greater fans, but you know, as a 10-year-old, she watched she's watched it a number of times. And when I told her that you were going to be on the show, she was like, oh my goodness, does she know Taylor Swift?
I'd met her a few times before we did the video. Because she bought my friend Liz Goldwyn's family house, the Goldwyn industry.
Oh, wow.
So the Goldwyn movie industry. So I remember meeting her, a couple times. Like, I think she said, hey, she wanted to talk to me about the house that she bought from my friend's family. And then, but I didn't know her. I just kind of like, she's a very friendly person. So I'd met her out at events, but, the phone call came and I was like very surprised that she knew everything about what I do and had definitely studied up on me and my career. And, I loved her approach, and you know, because I'm kind of used to being on people's mood boards. People saying oh, we used you for inspiration. I'm like, I can see that,
right?
You know? So I'm used to that happening for pretty much my entire adult life. But the way she put it to me was like, I want to put the spotlight on you and what you do, and have us be together side by side. Because certainly she could have said, can I borrow your glass? Can you help me make a costume? But she didn't, and it was great to be alongside her. And I, of course, consulted on all
and,
of her
and Laura,
wardrobe and everything.
Laura Dern, too, being beside Laura Dern?
Yeah, well, I think she was just on her way out, like, when they were filming that. I didn't meet Laura Dern. Everyone was there on different days, and it was a very top-secret shoot as well.
Okay, you were there with Taylor when you did your scene. I mean, it's an amazing video, actually. There's so much to it. It's not just a song, but there's a story there.
There is, and I remember when I got there, Taylor was filming a totally different song, totally different video. I think it's that I'm the Problem song. She was in that costume. So I think there was, they were there it was very top secret. I never heard the song. No one ever heard the song except for I got to hear it in headphones in a secret tent where they were editing on the spot. So that was pretty interesting how she kept everything secretive.
And then you actually shot the video at that time.
Yeah, like she said, do you want to hear the song? Because they never played the song on set ever. And so I heard it on headphones, like in a tent. So that they could keep it
from
being
very,
leaked.
Very cool. Do you still stay in touch with Taylor from time to time?
I mean, I don't like bother her for tickets or something like that. No, I have her on text, and cool. I don't. But we're not like palling around.
You're not hanging out with.
Believe me, people are always like, you have her phone number. I was like, I do, but I'm not using it. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell my daughter, Harper, that while I've asked you to text Taylor and tell her that Harper loves her, you don't want to waste your text. You only have a certain amount of text.
Like, oh,
but if you ever talk to her, Harper Gervey, Harper Gervey, her biggest fan. So Taylor would love that, I'm sure. I want to take from, everything you do, and I've heard so much about you, how you're such a warm person, and people love you. When they work with you, they love you. They love your style and everything. But then there's the former Real Housewives of New York City star, Bethany Frankel. What was the experience with her? A little different.
I don't know. Is there something about, I don't know. Did she say something? Does she not like me? I don't know. I remember we... I went on her show in New York, and there was a whole thing where she wanted to be in the glass with me.
Yeah.
On her show, and, I'm in New York, I'm super jet lagged, because I probably came from Paris or something, and they wanted to do a rehearsal with her, and I was like, okay, in the morning. And I went to go to rehearsal, and then she didn't show up, and I was like, wait, what? I don't need to rehearse. I've been doing this glass thing for 20 years. I don't need to rehearse it. So she didn't come to rehearsal.
Well, there you go.
I remember. And I was like, you're on your own then. Good luck.
I totally get that.
It's not like somebody I dislike because of it. I just remember being like, why am I here at rehearsal?
That's right.
Hey, Taylor was on time and early for her glass rehearsals, and we had a great time practicing together. So, hey, there's that.
You have said it all. You just made a point about life that's so important. And I really firmly believe that there are different kinds of people in life. Some of them are coming ready, are prepared, are happy, are positive, and then there's others who maybe not so much. So I think, you know, you want to side with the Taylor people who are going to be prepared and ready and obviously, you know, engaged with you with the work you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? They might not have told Bethany Frankel that there was a rehearsal. I have no idea.
All right.
I just remember she didn't come.
As a lawyer, I'm going to leave it at that. We don't need any lawsuits. But let's talk.
Right?
You just mentioned engaged. So engaged. The marriage to Marilyn Manson, and you've been in his movie videos. How did that all go, and why did it end rather quickly?
I mean, it didn't end rather quickly. I think people just see one tagline, and they say that I was married for a year, but we were together for 7 years. So I think people miss that, and they think that, you know. But it's, you know, I've been divorced for, almost 20 years now. Can you believe that?
That's a long time.
It's like, I mean, of a long time, you know.
Even though you don't look a day over 30, so don't say that you've been divorced for 20 years. No one.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things that doesn't define me, and I know with all of the, like, allegations, I feel very uncomfortable talking about it because
right.
I don't know what happened. You know, it's a long time ago that I was with a different person than what I hear happening. So I can't speak to people's experience because it's just like, I when you think about it, it's a long time ago. We met in, you know, 2000, I guess.
A different life.
24 years ago.
A different life. Let's talk about life now, not back then. Dita Las Vegas, tell us about the show and how successful it's been and how much you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying about Jubilee, I was also a huge fan of Jubilee, and I had been backstage there over the years, and every time I went to Vegas, that was the only thing I wanted to see. I didn't want to see any other show. It was like that, and the Liberace Museum for me were like the highlights of Las Vegas. And so, you know, I was on tour like a year before this, like in 2023, I finished my tour, and Caesars and Live Nation came to see my show at the Chicago Theater. And I've been offered Vegas shows over the years, like, but they usually say, like, oh, we have this lounge, it's got like 100 people. And I'm like, that's not what I do, though. Maybe you come see the show and see what I do. So anyway, the powers that be saw my show at the Chicago Theater, which was sold out to like 3,800 people. And they're like, oh, this is a big show on a big stage. And I said, yeah. So then they put their thinking caps on and they offered me the Jubilee Theater, which actually was at Bally's. I know you said it was at
a Trop,
casino,
yeah.
But it was the old, yeah, it wasn't at Trop. It was at
Bally's.
Trop had their own things. It was at Bally's, which is now called the Horseshoe. It's right on the Strip. So they flew me out to see the Jubilee Theater, which of course I remembered, and it's vast. It's half the size of a football field. It's a massive stage. And there's all these things that come out of the ceiling and out of the floor and elevators, and it's just crazy. And so I'm standing in that room, and I'm like, well, it's really cool. It's a vintage room. There's no other room like it, but it's huge. And I'm not sure. And I said, you know what? Where's all the costumes from Jubilee? And they said, oh, they're just locked up downstairs. We don't know what we're going to do with it. And I said, I have an idea. And if you like the idea, I'll do the show. And so I said, I would love to be able to make this a classic Las Vegas show combined with all the best of what I've done in my entire career. I know everybody knows me for The Glass, but I have lots of other what I call stripscapes that are, you know, bigger than The Glasses even. So I said, can I use them? And they said, yes. And so I put together a show that is, has like some of the best costumes of Jubilee, including all of the vintage Bob Mackie showgirl costumes, and made it, you know, what I'm known for is creating a diverse and inclusive show with just as many show guys as showgirls and muscle men.
How many are in the show, Dita?
28.
Wow.
So it's quite a big show.
And it's lavish and glamorous.
It is. You know, there's no other show like it in Las Vegas. There's never been a show like it in Las Vegas.
I mean, saw
it's
a quote.
Very different from Jubilee.
They said it's the best burlesque show ever not just now, but ever.
Yeah, I mean, if I hate to be the one to, like, toot my own horn, but if you look, and I, you know, anybody that knows the history of burlesque will know that it is, who can say it's the best? It's the biggest, most lavish, most extravagant and opulent show by far, like, and polished.
Wow.
In fact, Tempest Storm came to see my show, even when it was much smaller than this, and said, our burlesque was never this big. And I was like, oh, thank you for saying that. There's nobody's stamp of approval that
it's amazing.
I would appreciate more than that.
And I only have a minute, but the run is going to continue. You don't have a limit on it right now?
Right now, we don't have dates past June 15th. It's a big show. It will be going on 8 months. And June 15th is, as of now, your last chance to see this show. That could change, but as of now, that's your last chance.
And there are tickets available. I know I checked it out last night. I went online and was looking because I may be in Vegas in the next month or so.
Yeah, there's always tickets available. It's a big, big room. We keep tickets for people to walk up because I think it's important when you walk through Vegas, you can walk on in, but you can also get them at Ticketmaster. And the show starts at 9, so you can go have your dinner
first.
Perfect. It's till 10:30.
All right. Well, and, you know, Dita, it's been such a pleasure having you on. It's an honor to be talking to the Queen of Burlesque. And what a career. It's amazing what you've done over your entire career. Best of luck moving forward and with the show Dita Las Vegas. And thanks so much for being on Gervie's Law today.
Thank you. Pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Take good care. That's going to do it for another episode of Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie. We're here at KBC. Listen to Gervie's Law at gervieslaw.com. Or check out our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.